Hey everyone, how are you? So glad that you could tune in today. This is Marianne and welcome to today's podcast. Now, a few days ago, the world celebrated Valentine's Day. Yes, the world did. In all the continents, across all languages, love was celebrated. You know, the love of a mother to a child, love between two people, spouses sharing a life, love between siblings, you know, every kind of love. I think that so often we focus on the love between a man and a woman, that we forget that there are other aspects of love or other kinds of love, like the filial love, you know, the love you have for your brother, the love you have for your sister. I think it wouldn't be off to call up a sister, your sister or your brother, and wish them a happy Valentine's Day. I don't think it would be awkward. My thoughts. I don't think that it would be awkward for a son or a daughter to wish their parent a happy Valentine's Day and to buy them flowers and or a gift, chocolate or a tie or whatever it is that you can be able to buy for your parent. I mean, I don't think that it's wrong. I think that we need to demystify this thing about love, and we need to look at it in the broader perspective. And while yes, we celebrate that love works and that there are awesome marriages working out there, there are people who are deeply in love and people who are enjoying marriage, because marriage was instituted by God, and yes, they should totally absolutely enjoy and celebrate the day. And so however you chose to spend the day, if you decided it's gonna be a quiet day for you, if you chose to go all out, it's still a Valentine's, and I hope you had a great Valentine's Day. But the first Valentine's we had was when Jesus came to the world. That was the first Valentine's Day. It might not have been 14th of February, but we do know that down in the books of history that a child was born. Isaiah prophesied about this and said, to us a child is born and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called what? The Prince of Peace, the Everlasting God, the Holy One. And he came, the child was born, and he grew and he became the son. And John records this, and he said that God so loved the world. God showed his love to the world in a great measure, or the greatest expression of God's love to the world was through him giving his son to the world, so that any person that believes in the son should not perish but have everlasting life. If I can just quote it from John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. And that is the greatest expression of love in giving. God already did it. He gave. And that just reminds me that, you know, it doesn't matter who calls or doesn't call to say I love you. You know, so many times you get caught up with this whole thing of, I don't have anyone to tell me that they love me. I don't have anyone special. But do you know that you're special in the eyes of God? Do you understand that you're the apple of his eye? Do you know that he's loved you with an everlasting love? Do you know, do you remember, do you consider that he has tattooed, he has engraved your name on the palms of his hand, and that your walls are ever before him? Do you realize that? Do you realize that he gave all he had for you? Why then do you feel bad because another person did not take time to wish you or to make you feel amazing and to make you feel special? You might not have someone, but that doesn't mean that you're not amazing and that you're not special. And I know it's a human desire to want to feel loved and appreciated, but I want you to look beyond that. Look beyond your human desire and look beyond your need for outside affirmation and begin to look at the inside. Look everything that you're desiring is in the inside of you. Everything that you yearn for has already been given to you. It's already been released to you. The love that you long for, the love that you yearn for, it's already on the inside of you. The great family that you desire, it's already on the inside of you. Believe it or not, it's within you. It's not outside of you. The love, connect with God. Begin to look inwardly. Begin to see yourself as God sees you. Take your position in God's family. You're a son. And by son here, I don't mean the male gender. Because the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And in the Spirit, there's no gender. There's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. I mean, we are all the same. And so when I say that you're a son, take your position of sonship, I'm not trying to say, the Bible is not gender sensitive. No, it's not about gender sensitivity. We need to go easy on all this feminism and the feminist movement. We need to go easy on that. But here, this is what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that which you're looking for so passionately, that thing that you desire for so greatly, is not on the outside. It is not on the things that you're trying to look. It's not in the people that you're trying to get it from. That thing, that affirmation, that identity, you can only find it in God. Take time in His presence. Take time in His presence and let Him, just allow Him to introduce you to yourself. It's at the place of intimacy that you're introduced to yourself. And there's something amazing about identity, because you see, identity actually causes you to stand boldly. It causes you to stand without fear. That's what identity does. It gets you to a point where you know you're fully persuaded that everything else around you might shake. But as long as you're anchored on the rock, and as long as you know whose you are, who you are, and whose you are, nothing can ever shake you. Nothing can ever move you. And this actually forms the foundation of what I'd want us to talk about today. See, in the last podcast, we spoke about why people have left church. And I intimated and I spoke about the one-man syndrome, you know, the big man syndrome, rather. Where, unfortunately, not all, but unfortunately, some men of God, some women of God have made it about themselves, have made ministry about themselves, and they've, you know, pushed people, and they've hurt people, and they've done all these things. And we are not ignoring the fact that a lot of people have been hurt in church, and we're addressing that. And we did speak about the men of God and their role and their obligation. And if you didn't catch up on that, I'd ask you, go back to the playlist, listen to that podcast. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. But today I'd like to talk about the person that comes to church and sits, listens, and goes home. The person that comes, serves, and then goes home. Now, before I even go very far, I'd like to read a verse. It's in the book of Acts. And even if I was to quote this verse, oh my goodness, I do believe a lot of us have heard about this. I know a lot of us, we've heard about the Bereans, haven't we? Many of us in the, a lot of us, yes, you've been in church. You've definitely heard about the Bereans. And the Bible says that the people, the Bereans, were more noble than all the others. And they, I'm paraphrasing in this instance. And they went back to search the scriptures to see if what Paul preached was true. I mean, we are looking at a group of people. This is Paul we're talking about, the Apostle Paul. This is a man that walked in signs, miracles, and wonders, a profound teacher of the word. You can imagine he's a kind of a guy that was preaching through the night, and a man called Eutychus sitting by the window. Oh, well, he got tired and he fell and he died. That interrupted Paul's service. And he was like, you're not going to interrupt my service. So what Paul did was go downstairs, go out, get the man, pray for him, raise him. And he continued with the service. I mean, that's a Paul I'm talking about. Raising the dead was not, it wasn't the thing. It was just a thing that happened in the course of ministry. It wasn't a big deal. That's what I'm trying to say. Paul was a great man. And it was so easy for any person to get carried away by one, maybe his charisma, two, the revelation in which he walked in, three, the power of God, the exousia that he walked in, even the dunamis. I mean, this man walked in the power of God. He had authority. Remember Paul? That time that they were on the ship and then they get shipwrecked, then they're sitting on the island and the snake comes to bite Paul, and guess what happens? He shakes it off. That's what Paul did. He just shook it off and it continued as if nothing had happened. That Paul, that's a Paul I'm talking about. So the Bereans, these people, despite interacting with that great man, despite interacting with such great anointing, you know, they listened, yes. But the Bible says they went back home and searched the scriptures to see if what he taught them was true. To see if, is he speaking the real thing? Or did he try to add his own stuff here and there? And they were called more noble. These Bereans, they were called more noble. And I'm trying to give this example to say, as a principle, every believer, we have a mandate to search the scriptures for ourselves. Because you see, the Bible is open right there. But the thing that has happened and the lie that has beguiled so many believers is what the man of God has said. What did the man of God say? I'm going to go with what they say. You do not read to understand, or you don't read to interrogate what the word of God is saying. The man of God is a man first, then of God. That's a woman first, then of God. And every time that you go sit under the counsel of the word of God, God will use men and women, vessels that have availed themselves. But you have to remember that these vessels are as human as you are. So therefore, when they're speaking, you have a responsibility to stop and ask, what I'm being taught, does it have a basis from the word of God? I'm being taught about honor. What does the Bible speak about honor? I'm being taught about fatherhood. What does the Bible speak concerning fatherhood? I'm being taught about giving. What is the word of God say about giving? And more importantly, do you even ask yourself, or get to a point where you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you? Because you see, the gift of discernment is for every believer. It is not for those in the fivefold. It's not for those who have big titles. It's for every believer. And as such, we can go before God and we can ask for the gift of discernment. Because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of us. And we can ask for the gift of discernment. And the gift of discernment is so beautiful in the sense that even when someone is speaking, you're able to pick. And you can tell, that sounds right, but it ain't right. Yeah, it sounds good, but it isn't good. It sounds as though it's from God, but it's not from God. Because you see, the enemy will try to come and camouflage as an angel of light. He'll try camouflage as an angel of light. And it's our responsibility as believers to be able to discern, to be able to tell, to be able to pick that out and say, you know, I feel as though the teaching that I'm receiving from this place is not of God. So that's the first thing. The Berean principle, applying the Berean principle, it's paramount. You left the church because you were hurt. But I'd also want to just toss this ball to your court and say, you also had a responsibility in the sense that you should interrogate. You should ask, you should seek to understand what is the mind of Christ concerning those things that you've been taught. What is God saying concerning those things that have been read to you? You have your Bible because we live in the days where the Bible is available to us. And each and every one of us can own a Bible. If not the physical copy, then the soft copy on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. What I'm trying to say is the Word of God is near to you. And the second thing I'd like to say is, we need to have the courage to walk from spaces that are toxic. Because maybe, I know you probably sit and think, had I left earlier, I would not have gone through ABCD. And like I said, I'm sorry that you were hurt while trying to serve God. But you're not a victim. Rise up, you're a victor. And there's something that you learned from that painful experience. You don't toss the baby in its bath waters. You don't say now you're never going to any church because church XYZ hurt you. Pastor so-and-so hurt you or took advantage of you. All churches don't become fake. All pastors are not fake because of what one of them did. Remember that you have the power to make a decision, and if a place is toxic and if a place is not helping and building you, you can exit. You can walk out the same way you walked in. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of us don't realize, that you can actually walk out. You can actually walk out. When you're sensing in your spirit and you know that this is not good for me. Sometimes probably you might need to just, sit back. Sometimes you might need to take that huge decision and say, you know what, I think I just need to walk out of this place. And I'm not saying that to mean, you know, there are people who would obviously take this and say, okay, yeah, I can walk out anytime I want. Of course, there should be order in the house of God. There should be order in the way we do things. But the important thing here is, I'm talking about if you're in a space that you know, this is not right, this is not godly, the teachings, they are not in line with the Word of God. This is not a Bible teaching church. In this space, I'm being intimidated. In this place, I'm being manipulated. In this place, I am being asked to do things that are contrary to what I read in the Word of God. Then you need to leave. You need to walk out of that space. Number three. I don't know how long you've been sitting at home. I don't know how long you've been going through the heart and through the emotions. But you also need to forgive those that hurt you. You need to forgive them. Because forgiveness is a key to healing. It's important that you realize the people that hurt you did not represent God. Let me say this again. The people that hurt you, in the process of hurting you, they were not representing God. That's not the image of God that you ought to carry. The image that you carried from that space that hurt and broke you is not the image of God that you ought to carry in your heart and in your spirit. Because God is loving. God is kind, He's faithful, and He's just. He doesn't sit with a huge whip of scorpions, you know, and to ready to whip you for any little thing that you do. That's not how God operates. He's love. And you remember we started by saying He loved the world so much, He gave the best He had. Do you think you'd give the best and then look at you and try to punish you or try to make your life difficult just because He can? There are people who represent God as though He was a sadist. There are people that will all the time talk about a God that wants to punish and that wants to kill and to destroy. I mean, God is out to finish and completely annihilate people. They represent God as that. But just because there are people that say that's who God is, doesn't mean that that's a real description of who God is. There are people who know God as loving. There are people who know God as a good, good father. There are people who know God as a provider, as a protector, as a defender. How do you know God? Don't allow someone who has misrepresented God stop you from getting or accessing God. Don't allow someone who misrepresented God define to you who God is. And yes, you may have been hurt in this space. It doesn't mean that any other space that you step into will automatically hurt you as well. Learn, rise, move on. Learn from that. Rise above it and move on. There is so much that you can do. There's so much potential inside of you. There is so much gifts and talents that you carry. You cannot sit at home, because you see, even as you sit at home, let's be honest, as you sit at home, you may think you're growing, but are you really growing? You may say, this is the most genuine thing that I've ever gone or come across. And yes, I understand there are times when you might need to spend a little bit of time maybe, and sit. But you cannot sit forever. You need to get to a point where you say, I'm rising. I'm going to dust off, you know. Dust my clothes off, and I'm going to keep moving. Because remember this, God called you. God called you. He summoned you by name, and you answered that call when you said yes to Jesus. So don't allow voices to come in between you and God. Don't allow experiences which the enemy would want to use to completely paralyze you and stop you from pursuing God. Don't allow that. Rise, and again I say rise, because let's be real. As long as we are relating at a human level, there's bound to be people hurting each other, people misunderstanding each other. And that is why we have to live together with love, with understanding, and with lots and lots and lots of forgiveness. We have to constantly forgive each other. We have to constantly esteem the other better than ourselves. We have to do it. Interpersonal relationship is really important to God. How we treat each other is, it's true, it's very important. And it's true that we failed even in the church to treat each other right. It's true that when you were going through something, you didn't feel as though your brothers and sisters in church came through for you. Maybe you never got a call. Maybe no one visited with you. And I know all these things have a way of just coming and overwhelming us and feeling as though I don't have fellowship with these people. So I'm going to leave them, and I'm going to look for people that understand me, people who love me. And whether or not they're born again, I don't care. I'm just going to hang out with them. And people who are not born again are also good people. And they are wonderful people. But the thing that I'm trying here to say is, one bad experience should not stop you from pursuing God. One bad experience should not hinder you from accessing God. Sit back and think about this God. Sit back and think about how amazing and how great God has been. Remember that when you're going to church and when you're serving in church, you're not serving your pastor, your prophet, your evangelist. You're serving God. Your loyalty is with God. You're loyal to God. That's it. You're loyal to God. I again will not try to belabor this point too much, but I just want to leave you with this, with these words. One, the Berean principle. Remember that. Two, remember that you can easily walk out. Yes, walking out of toxic spaces. Number three, forgiving. Learning, rising up. I'd like to leave you with that. And I pray that God heals your heart. I pray that you find the joy of your salvation. I pray that the Lord will speak to you in a way that only He can. He'll encourage you. He'll minister to you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to teach you and to show you the ways of God. I pray for you that you will continue to rise and that your path shines brighter and brighter into a perfect day. I pray that you get to a point of realizing and knowing who you are in God. I pray that you're blessed. I pray that you're lifted and that you experience God's best for your life. So God bless you. May God increase you. Be good. May you continue to sow for the glory and honor of His name. You are loved. I love you. Jesus loves you even more. Keep soaring. Be great. Have a good time. Thanks so much for tuning in today. This is your host, Marianne. Thank you so much for listening into today's podcast. Bye-bye and God bless you.